Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know
with sports' biggest and best names. Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folliwell.
Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations. I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing and put them in a position to succeed.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell. Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Ow. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And I tell you what, I am looking so forward to the start of our program because in our very first conversation, we are focusing in on those Dallas Mavericks, a team that is clicking on all cylinders right now. In fact, they have won 5 games in a row. They're coming off that 102-84 win over Denver on Wednesday night. And it is the second time this season that they have accomplished that, where they've won 5 straight games. They had a very strong stretch in the middle of January. And we are so delighted to have along with us this weekend the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play voice, the one and only Victor Villalba. And all I have to say is, hola, Victor, ¿cómo está? I'm going to assume with this compressed schedule that you are un poco cansada.
Yeah, you know, there has been a couple moments, Elissa, that it's been, you know, having to push your voice a little bit. But you know, everybody's in the same boat, you know, all the broadcasters and those NBA teams that have Spanish broadcasts as well, we're all in this compressed schedule, which has been interesting, to say the least.
Well, let's talk about your Dallas Mavericks, because they are playing with so much confidence right now. Yeah, we'll delve in and talk about defensively what they're doing. But on the offensive end, they are really shooting the ball well. And I thought it was interesting what Rick said in postgame on Wednesday night. He said that efficiency offensively, it is helping them on the defensive end. It spills over into other areas.
No doubt, especially when you're going to the basket, you're in a controlled offense, and things that happen on transitions, you're ready for it. You've got guys that are getting back on time. The fast break points have been an opportunity for the Dallas Mavericks to be able to push the accelerator at times on offense as well. And also, there have been moments when they've become jump shot happy. At certain moments in third quarters, where third quarters have been a little bit of a disappearing act, but certainly the balance of attacking the boards, shooting from mid and long range, has been a very good thing to see on offenses. As you said, you know, it spills over on the defensive side, especially when you're set for either fast breaks or the half court that they're going to see against their opponent.
You got that right, and it is great, as you said, you know, having those multiple scoring options. But let's talk about defensively, because I think back to the game, Victor, on Wednesday night against Denver. They held them at the half. You know, I look up at the scoreboard, I'm like, oh my goodness, they have only scored 39 points at the half. And I think that the Mavs did that against the Lakers earlier this year, where they held the Lakers to 35 points at the half. I mean, this is a team that is very capable. When they lock down that D, and they're not going to score a lot of points, their opponents, that is.
And, you know, it starts with Sean Marion. Sean Marion has been talked about during this week that, you know, he's never been an all-defensive NBA player. And, by golly, he's the guy who gets the tough assignment. He's the guy who, at any given point against Denver, was on top of Ty Lawson, who had those 27 points on December 26th. And that was a moment when the Mavericks, unlike other teams in the NBA, were kind of wondering, okay, what's their personality going to be? This feels like preseason, although they're counting as regular season games. And as things have progressed, you know, Sean Marion has really shown the way, and other guys have really pitched in as far as on the defensive end. I mean, even a guy like Vince Carter, who I guess at times in his career has been known as a very, very ultra offensive threat, maybe not that much of a defensive stalwart, but now, you know, he's getting his hands in there, and everybody seems to be contributing on the defensive side. And Rick Carlisle has said it before, is that, you know, this thing starts with defense and it ends with defense. And, you know, on the offensive side, they do have the weapons that we just talked about. But really, on the defensive side, it's almost as if the defense is really setting the tone. And, you know, the Mavericks aren't afraid of a 73-70 game, for example, out there in Los Angeles. They're not afraid of, you know, hey, look at the scoreboard. We're not even close to 100, but look what the other team has. And that's been pretty effective this year with that style of defense.
You are listening to the voice of Victor Villalba. He is the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play voice. We want to direct you where you can go and listen to his broadcast. That's at 1270 AM. KFLC does a fantastic job. And, you know, you talk about a point person, and that is Sean Marion on the defensive end. He really is a unique weapon to this team. Obviously, his size is a factor, but he continues, as you had said, Victor, he's drawing the big defensive assignment. We saw that against Ty Lawson. You look at, the stat sheet. I mean, Ty Lawson only had 3 points on Wednesday night, but whether it's a Chris Paul, you know, the Rubios or the Butlers, this is the guy that they're looking to set the pace.
You know, and he relishes that, too. I mean, he understands that role is, has him starting at this time as the small forward. His shot is also one of those shots that in key moments, you know, he can appear attacking the bucket. And he's a guy that really, on the offensive side, I mean, talking about his defense, it's undeniable the Sean Marion factor on the defensive side. But on the offensive side, the one thing that Sean Marion is doing very well, as far as I can see, is he's very balanced on offense. I mean, he'll shoot a three from the corner, but he's also attacking the boards. He's trying to get inside. He's looking for that contact. He's looking for the dish. And, boy, I'll tell you, I don't see a guy who, at this point, couldn't be considered probably the MVP of the Dallas Mavericks at this particular moment, not because of his, you know, offensive prowess or a lot of the things that he does on defense that don't even show up on the stat sheet, but it's just he seems to be at the center of everything. He seems to be the glue that's putting everything together, because when the Mavericks come out and they're playing that style of defense where they're suffocating, you know, their opponent, then things start to open up. Before you know it, Vince Carter is able to shoot from outside. Jason Terry comes in, and he's that fourth quarter man that we've been hearing about. That type of attitude, it's that workmanlike attitude that goes first quarter, second quarter. Third quarter has been a bit of an adventure, but against Denver the other night, they showed that, hey, third quarter, ahoy, you know, we're not worried about the third quarter. And you know, they're really finding that balance. And as you well know, it's a shorter season, but still it is a long season from the standpoint that whoever is hot, whoever is really, whoever is really commanding their own presence on the court when playoff time comes around, that's the team that's going to be feared both on the east side and on the west side.
Victor, why has it, you talk about a key point, why has it been so difficult for the Mavs up until the Denver game for them to replicate that energy in the third quarter at the start of that? Because you want to bring it. We've seen many times a Jekyll Hyde team, and those third quarters are very critical because you have to finish strong.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, you know, that's one of those mysteries, because, you know, basketball is one of those sports that if you're just watching what's going on the court, sometimes you look at the scoreboard and it just doesn't seem to translate. It doesn't seem to be like you're watching the same game that the guys who are keeping score are watching as well. And that could be a little confusing at times when you're trying
sure.
to assess exactly what's going on with a team at any given moment. The third quarters definitely have been flat at certain times when they come out of the locker room. They've got adjustments in their mind. And it seems to me that when teams are still trying to find their personality, they're still trying to find who they are, they're trying to find a fit for a guy like Lamar Odom still, where he's meandering at times and he's not really sure of himself. It seems to me that when a team has that, when they come out in the third quarter, it's very difficult to say, okay, this is who we are, and this is what we're going to do in the third quarter. And the third quarter is so critical because at the beginning of the game, well, no one really knows what's happening, and you can see video of the last game or the games before. You're on a winning streak. You're on a losing streak. But then when the third quarter rolls around, it's almost like a microcosm of who you are, and you've got to be really sure of who you are, especially when you're coming out with adjustments in your mind. And I think at certain times the Mavericks may have been caught off guard when it comes to the third quarter adjustments, and they haven't been able to respond, but certainly they're aware of that, and they did something about it against Denver the other night.
Well, the good news is that the Dallas Mavericks continue to show us how resilient that they are. We've had so many games where the game has gone down to the wire. It's exhausting to watch. It's exhilarating. But as Coach Carlisle had talked about, you know, the ability to be resourceful and resilient is what defined them last year, and this year's not any different, and perhaps it's even more because of the contended schedule.
Yeah, and also remember, they have that big bullseye in their back, which says, hey, we're the champions.
Yeah.
We're number one right now. So whenever they go to, you know, whenever they go to an arena, there's almost like that added pep in the crowd that says, hey, these are the guys that that carried home the hardware. These are the guys that had their ring ceremony. These are the guys that raised the banner. And that, without a doubt, gives not only the teams, the opponent teams on the road, but also the crowd that insistence of, hey, you know what? This is a big game because it's the champs. But certainly, the Dallas Mavericks have understood from the get-go that, you know, this is a different season. This is something that everybody's trying to do the best that they can with what they have. And it's going to be interesting once again to see who gets to the big party, to the second half of this particular season when there's 16 teams vying for that one championship, and who is hot and who is really hitting on all cylinders, like you had mentioned before, but also who is really convinced of who they are. There's no question as to, are we a half-court team, are we a running team? Do we slow things down? Do we look for tempo? By that time, the teams that make the tournament are the teams that really know who they are.
You're listening to the voice of Victor Villalba, the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play voice. Of course, as I said earlier, you can listen to him on 1270 AM KFLC. And what is fascinating for me, Victor, I have to share, is watching Coach Carlisle and how, you know, you see at times the upheaval in the roster, Jason Terry out, Roddy B out, Delonte West now with that broken right finger, the fracture, just how he continues to get these guys all in sync and the rotations. I mean, so many of these players are versatile and they can play so many different positions.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that that Rick Carlisle really stresses is there has to be that versatility. And you're right, the Delonte West injury, that fractured broken finger, the ring finger on the right hand, boy, I'll tell you, there wasn't the oh my gosh, what's going to happen now gasp as if Dirk Nowitzki had gone down, but certainly there was a gasp from the standpoint of, oh wow, you know, here's the guy that's been so solid, and now last word has been that nobody really knows how long he's going to be out. And that is a challenge, because Delonte West was doing a very, very solid job from the standpoint of coming off the bench, of being a spot starter at time, of understanding what his role is. And really, most of the players understand that that's really goes back to the same thing. And I'll say it again, because it's a team that is understanding what type of personality it is, and the sum of the parts is really what makes this team. And as you mentioned, you know, Rick Carlisle expects a lot of the different role players, of the rotations, of all of a sudden you see Jan Mahinmi playing minutes and he's very solid. Then you see Brendan Wright coming in and taking some of those minutes. Jan Mahinmi, a DNP all of a sudden. I mean, there's just a lot of variation to what's going on. But certainly, at any given moment, there's somebody that's going to step up and be able to go in there and maybe take the pressure off of Dirk Nowitzki. Because one of the things we have seen this particular season, and at times we saw it last year, is it's not that Dirk takes a day off, no, but he doesn't have to carry the load and have 35 to 40 points for the Dallas Maverick team to win, even if it is a win in the last second, because certainly we've seen a number of those types of games where it goes down right down to the wire.
Well, I like to say, you know, Dirk's always on time, but sometimes he seems like he's last minute, but he gets the job done. Now, a guy that is getting the job done, I want to get your thoughts on this, Victor. What do you think about Lamar Odom? Because I really am seeing that he's coming into his groove. He seems like he's more comfortable offensively, and he's asserting himself. He's very deliberate. When he's catching the ball, he's going somewhere, or he's got his feet set, his hands ready, and he's ready to, you know, launch the shot.
Well, certainly, you know, Lamar Odom was brought to this team with the idea of him being one of those new faces that's going to allow the Dallas Mavericks to get back into the playoffs and get back into the finals, because the way Mark Cuban and Donnie Nelson look at it, it's they have given themselves flexibility to be able to do the things that they want to do later, but certainly they don't want this season just to be a blip with an asterisk, because it's a shortened season. I mean, they see that there is an opportunity to do something very special, which is go back to back. Why not? You have the nucleus of the team, and there are certain guys that have been added on, such as a Lamar Odom. Now, the one thing about Lamar Odom is, and you know, everybody has been saying this and talking about it, is, you know, the fact that he was in this other offensive and this offensive system, and the, you know, everyone's throwing around that term of a triangle and all these different things, and certainly at times You know, he is trying to find exactly what his role is. But I agree with you. He needs to continue to assert himself on the court and saying, hey, boys, you know, I've been in this league long enough to where no one has to tell me or wonder what's going on with me. I know what my responsibility is. And he is beginning to get that feel to attack the board. He's beginning to get that feel of okay, I'm open, shoot, don't pass off. And there are moments when you're wondering, I mean, does he really feel that confidence? Is he really coming into his own, so to speak? And certainly he's one of the guys that the team is definitely going to count on to be able to make that run in the playoffs. But what is his game versus the type of game the Dallas Mavericks play at any given moment? He's the guy with the rock. He's the one bringing the ball across. You know, that to Maverick fans in the last few years, that almost seems it almost looks weird when you got a big man crossing the court with the ball, but that's something that he's used to doing. He likes to have that type of control, and it's finding that particular balance for him that has been important, so that when he does play, when he is on the court, when he's coming off the bench along with Jason Terry, you know, he's brimming with confidence, because in this game, as you well know as a former player, confidence is half the game. And once you have that confidence, it almost seems that things just start happening, not because you're thinking about them, but because they're happening and you even realize, boy, I just did that.
Right.
Well, yeah, I just did.
Absolutely, and I never get carried away with his stats, because I even think back to the Clippers game. You know, he came in that third quarter, hit the three-point shot, you know, got some rebounds, got the transition game going. He does things that, you know, don't necessarily, even defensively, that show up on the stat sheet, but Lamar Odom is really coming into his own, and you really have to tip your hat to the Dallas Mavericks coaching staff. I think they're doing a great job with that. Hey, listen, Victor, we are getting ready to close out our interview, and I just wanted to get your thoughts. Two more quick questions. Talk to me about what was it like to cover the NBA Finals last year against Miami, because that is a huge Spanish-speaking fan base with Miami and Dallas, a large Hispanic population, and I'm sure you got some wonderful feedback.
Well, I'll tell you, it was really exciting. I mean, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime things, and you know, a lot of times people say, hey, you know, you don't realize what you did till after you did it. Well, you know what? I was taking mental pictures the whole way, because I was around in 2006. I was around that time when somebody, you know who, kicked the ball in the stands.
Yeah.
And there was this incredible frustration, and there was this just heartbreak of you know, they say that you get a ring if you win the Western Conference. Well, I mean, no one was even thinking about that in 2006. Everybody was just so focused on the serious hardware and just being able to be around. And, you know, Miami, of course, has a Spanish language broadcast as well with my good friend Jose Pañeda, and he's been doing it for a while, and you know, he takes a lot of pride in what he does. And when the series happened again, you know, we both sort of looked at each other and said, well, here we go. And you know, it was just one of those things that, okay, well, you know, the Mavericks can do it now, and they can take it all. And that game six in Miami, and just being in the locker room and seeing the guys just so elated, and just everybody just kind of stepping back and thinking, gosh, you know, we did it. And there's no sense of having to think, you know, in the future, no sense of thinking of, oh, you know, what's our legacy? What are people going to say? Hey, right now in this moment, the Dallas Mavericks had the trophy. They were raising it. They were champions. And for me, just to be in the sideline and observing this and you know, being able to, you know, to get on the plane on the way back and hold the trophy, I mean, it was just really, it was really something very, very special. And I, you know, I have people like Mark Cuban and Terdima Usury and the rest of the administration of the Dallas Mavericks to thank for the opportunity to be a part of it, because at any given moment, you know, when I'm walking around and someone, you know, someone sees me and they say hello and they say they listen to the broadcast and they enjoy them, but they start talking basketball. I mean, you know, that just gets you excited, especially when the backdrop is just a recent championship, you know?
Absolutely. It was a magical Mavericks season and just an epic NBA Finals. It was so much fun. And so let's take time as we get ready to close out our interview to listen to a clip from the Heat Mavs from last year's Finals. I'm going to capitulate on this one because my Spanish is not so good, but set it up for all of our listeners, Victor.
Well, you know, this is one of the endings of the game. There was an inbound pass. It's a very stressful moment. I believe it's game four, and Mike Miller takes a shot at the very end. It doesn't go in, and it was one of those three-pointers where everyone, you know, was holding their breath when the ball was up in the air. This was in Dallas, and And the Mavericks were able to pull one out there at the very end, with a very important game, because it seemed at that moment that's when the Mavericks started really feeling that, okay, this isn't 2006 at all. This is 2011. That was then. This is now. And let's go ahead and if we got to go down to Miami to win it in six or seven, well, let's just do it.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to that. And we also want to take time to thank you, Victor, for coming on to our program. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. And salutations. Saludos to all your listeners.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Victor.
Dallas Mavericks. Buscando la victoria. Qué manera, ¿eh? Son las finales del NBA. Mike Miller cachetea el balón. Hay movimiento. Se hace el carrusel. ¿Con quién? Mike Miller. El pase. Dwayne Wade pierde el balón. Tiene que ir atrás. Recupera. Entrega Mike Miller. Tiro de tres. ¡No! Y así va a terminar el encuentro. La victoria es el equipo de los Dallas Mavericks. 86-83. Los Mavericks se salvan de ir abajo 3-1. Los Mavericks empatan la Serie 2 con una extraordinaria victoria, 86-83, donde todo mundo contribuyó. Los Dallas Mavericks con la espalda contra la pared. Y ahora el jueves habrá vida para el equipo de los Mavericks y de poder llevarse una victoria el jueves. Imagínese, el equipo de los Dallas Mavericks regresaría con la oportunidad a Miami de cerrar las finales allá. ¡Wow! ¡Qué juego, eh!